You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with Van Jones. Van is the creator of the upcoming series, The Redemption Project. Partnering with CNN, Van is providing opportunities for victims of heinous crimes to meet up and confront their attackers for healing many years after the event. In this one-on-one, we get to speak to Van about why a show like this is so necessary in today's culture, how they know somebody is ready to meet their attacker or their victim, and what it takes to be redeemed. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Hi, Van. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Thank you so much for chatting with me. This is an exciting project to talk about, or at least it is for me. I'm sure it is for you. How did you come up with the series? How did you get involved with the Redemption Project?
Well, I have a friend, Jason Cohen, who's an Oscar-nominated director who did a film showing a former U.S. neo-Nazi who reconciled with one of his victims of his violence. And, we talked about what if we did a series. And of course, I've spent 25 years working in the criminal justice system as an advocate, as a lawyer. And I knew that there were people who were going into prison, one way, and who were transforming themselves, despite, frankly, the prison conditions, into truly, truly phenomenal people, diamonds, behind those walls. And I wanted some way to show that. And I also know that we are in real danger in our culture and country of empathy, grace, forgiveness, just as values, just leaving the culture, which is very dangerous. And I thought, geez, if we could do a show, that's 180 degrees from the present fashion of cancel culture and call out culture and I'm a block you culture and all that stuff, and go 180 degrees in the other direction, and also show and redeem the humanity of people on both sides of tragedy and tragic decisions, that we might add a little bit of medicine back into, I think, a very sick culture.
You talk about block you culture, and I was wondering, what do you think it is about right now in this cultural climate that's really put us at that risk of losing grace?
Well, everybody can point fingers at each other, but I do think that fundamentally we have an awful lot of data about each other now and very little wisdom. In that, these little devices that we have in our pockets, we think we're programming our phones, but our phones are really programming us. Once you click a few likes and swipes and this, that, the other thing and share, that phone knows exactly who you are and what you like, and they're going to keep feeding you, what you want to hear and what you want to see. And, we think of these devices as information devices. They're actually dopamine devices, that pleasure chemical in your brain. The algorithm is designed to give you pleasure to hit those pleasure centers in your brain. And so that's why, my Facebook feed looks totally different than yours. And so, we don't realize that. And so there's a technology problem here that is now, I think, leading to a spiritual problem, which is that, we can basically choose our own facts, and in so doing, choose our own feelings or lack thereof about people.
Wow. I was wondering, how do you know someone is ready to meet their attacker or their victim?
That is not an easy thing, and I will say to people who watch the show, don't try this at home. Every one of these cases, we have 8 cases of people who have done very bad things, everything from, impaired drivers who've taken people's lives, people who've committed homicide, people who've shot, someone, a decade or more ago. Don't try it at home. Don't just try and do it. We have very trained facilitators, a very rigorous process that we go through, both in front of the camera and behind the scenes. But you know what? More people than you would know who have committed very bad acts have learned and have grown 10 years later, 20 years later, and would love to be able to let the world know, and certainly to let the person that they hurt know, that they are sorry and that they have try to make amends. And many, many more people who are victims of crime and survivors of crime would like to know, first of all, what the heck were you doing and why did it happen in the first place? And have you learned anything? Are you sorry? Our court system is not designed for any of that. The minute that someone commits a crime, all the experts jump in. And, you know, in some ways that's a good thing. You know, the professional police and the investigators and the judges and the juries and the lawyers. But the actual two individuals who are involved can sometimes wind up feeling both dehumanized and not heard. And certainly sometimes the survivors, they may get a chance to testify. They may not. The accused may get a chance to testify. Usually they just plead. And people are sitting there, you know, 20 years later, I don't know why that person did that. I don't know what my loved one's last words were. I have 1,000 questions that were never answered in the courtroom. And so restorative justice processes allow for people to get, you know, more toward healing, sometimes just by getting more information, even if they don't forgive and this sort of thing, just to get more information about what happened can be very helpful to people.
There are just some remarkable conversations that happen in this series. I can't even describe it. To see these people come together, there's no words.
Well, and it's true that we don't have the literacy or the language for grace, and we don't have the literacy and the language for what this show is trying to put on display. So people keep saying, oh, it's a true crime thing. No, this is about the truth long after the crime is over. True crime is about who done it or who didn't do it. We already know who did it, but it's 10 or 20 years later, there's been no healing. So it's about the truth long after the crime. They say, oh, it's reality television. No, no, we all know reality television. It's stunts, it's scripted, they're telling people what to say. There's not a single word of this that is not an authentic expression coming from the mouths of people who are putting it all on the line to see if they can make some progress in the healing that comes after crime.
Yeah, the very thought that somebody might call this reality TV, once you've seen it, is totally staggering, because this is not keeping up with the Kardashians or anything of the like.
As much as I love Kim Kardashian, it's not her show. It's a very different show.
That's right. Is something like this common in the current system, or have you found it rare, like in the justice system as we have it now?
It is increasingly common for minor offenses involving minors. So for, you know, juveniles, it's increasingly common. You know, you have judges trying this out, communities trying this out. But the more you're dealing with very, very serious crime, very, very serious, you know, tragic decision that we're talking about here, the less common that it is. In fact, we did the very first healing dialogue ever in the entire state of Alaska. We did on our show. So there are whole states that have never done this.
Yeah. It's incredible to see. Here's a question that may be difficult to answer, but what do you think it takes to find redemption in these moments?
Well, I mean, you know, of course, it's an 8-part series, and in 2 of the episodes, the surviving parents do not find a way to get warm and fuzzy with the person who hurt their child. But in 3, the survivors actually get to a place where they actually go and successfully get the person out of prison who harmed them. And so you have the full range. And I think redemption looks differently in each situation. But I do think that the most important thing is for people who've done something wrong to own up to it and to admit it and to apologize and try to make amends, whether or not the other person accepts it or accepts it in the way that they had hoped, maybe that they would. They just really, it's such an important thing that people do that. And watching, the moral courage that it takes to walk into a prison and sit down with the person who, you know, took the life of a loved one who hurt you, that's a level of moral courage that's big. There's also a level of moral courage that it takes to walk out of your prison cell and walk down the hall and sit down at a table and look in the eye of the person that you hurt or whose child you killed, and to answer their questions honestly. and to try to do something to help them move forward. And so I just saw Olympic levels of moral courage on both sides of these healing dialogues. And, you know, they don't all turn into big kumbaya moments, you know, frankly, far from it.
Yeah.
But there is some healing and some progress that takes place every time.
Oh, wow. There are several of the people involved in the episodes have mentioned faith as a part of their journey. I was wondering if you feel like that's an important part of their healing process as well.
Listen, I think literally 9 out of 10 of the people who were willing to do this have some deep, you know, faith practice. And I think that's important. It's not a religious show. But it's not a show that tries to hide the religious feelings of the people who, you know, take these kind of steps. And I think that's very important. We've secularized the culture so much that some of the wisdom, you know, and scripture that can really help people through these tough times has been pushed to the margins. And yet, I think people, both in and out of prison, who've gone through terrible things, they tend to reach for those scriptures and reach for those traditions and rely on them, and that's very present in this series.
How has the response been to the show from?
Well, we did a premiere in L.A. We're going to do another one here in the New York premiere is tonight. I don't think I've seen a response like the response to this show. I mean, because people have never seen it before, it literally is like watching people do. It's like when you watch the Olympics, you see people physically doing stuff that you didn't think anybody could do, and it's just sort of. But this is that at a moral level, at an emotional level, at a spiritual level, I don't think. I mean, people are saying that, you know, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. I literally do not think there was a dry eye in the house, but. You know, out of joy and out of relief and out of, you know, a sense of compassion that has been stirred in people. And if that reaction holds up, I think maybe this show will offer some medicine to the country.
I honestly hope that it does. Can I ask this? What happens next?
People want to get involved. The RedemptionAlliance.com. I'm the CEO of the Redemption Alliance. And if people want to get involved in Movements for Change, RedemptionAlliance.com is a place that I would encourage people to sign up. It's for religious people, they'll understand what I mean. The show is the sermon, but the Redemption Alliance is a ministry, and I hope people will support both. So thank you.
Well, Van, I truly mean this when I say this. It is a remarkable show. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it myself, and it is just incredible. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
No, thank you for the opportunity.